Jesus took our punishment, right? He took our sin upon him. It may not look like an itch. It may not look like a cough. It may not look like a spastic leg, right? But he took upon himself the sins of the world. And Jesus took our punishment. You know, I asked children this week as I was at Dakota Fest if they ever took their siblings' punishment. And I will tell you, most of them said never. If my brother or sister's in trouble, they deserve it. And they should get the punishment coming to them. They're kind of sometimes the harshest critics, right? Your brother or your sister. And you think, substitute Jesus? Here's a big phrase, okay? Substitutionary atonement. That sounds really big, but I want you guys to think of a substitute. What is a substitute? Anybody can answer this. What is a substitute? When you think of substitute? Like a substitute teacher, right? You get a different teacher when your teacher's going... Your teacher went, probably not the leg thing, right? But you get a substitute teacher, right? Somebody comes in and they take the place of your teacher. But see, a lot of times when we have a substitute teacher, they're not on the same par, right? Teachers know this, right? They're not going to teach the same quality that you have taught as a teacher. But Jesus was the best teacher, amen? And he was the ultimate substitute. He was better than we could ever be because Jesus was sinless, right? And Jesus took our place. He took our punishment. Can you guys say he took our punishment? He took our sin. Can you say that? That's right. And like the doctor skit, we become all better. We would do this skit around the world. This is one of the skits that we would do to catch people's attention in the streets, right? This probably catches some attention, right? And so people would gather and we'd share testimonies. Then we'd do a bigger drama with a real allegory of the gospel. And so people would laugh kind of like you guys did today, or at least smile. And it was one of the first things we did towards evangelism, towards reaching the lost. And the name of our sermon this morning is Make Time to Fish. I don't know if this week was busy for you. It sure was busy for us. And I'm pretty sure it was definitely busy for many, especially going back to school. School started this week, and for the Potters, this was very different than what we were used to. We've been homeschooling our kids, and now they're in school. And they're at Mitchell Christian School, and it's very different in our house. And we were doing something every night of the week in preparation, or every night of the week in what's going to be coming in the around with the church work that's going on in here to spruce up those classrooms, from meetings to all of the above. And because we believe in community outreach, we believe that we want to put our best foot forward. And so as I shared in announcements, we've spruced up the church. If you look even at the church office, which is one of the classrooms, we've painted in there. We've painted in the preschool room. We're painting in the nursery, all of those things. And thank you again for taking part in that, those that have helped and taken part in partnering with us in that aspect. And I want you guys to know that as you're dedicating your time to volunteer and be a part of this, that we are sowing seed that will last into eternity. We're making a kingdom impact for our September classes and for Sunday school that's going to be going on. Thank you for doing that. You're a vital part of what we do. And this project is not just done, but we're still in the process, so you guys might still see in a couple of weeks some changes too. And so it'll be a wonderful addition. So it's been busy, right? There have been all of these things that have taken place. I don't know how many of you have gone to Corn Palace Days this week, right? We're going to be, as part of Mitchell Christian School, there's been some of us that have been volunteering for that as well. And then there's been Dakota Fest, Tuesday through Thursday. And in the midst of all this busyness, I could have simply said, listen, I just don't have time. I don't have time for Dakota Fest. But today we're talking about carving out time to fish. Carving out time to fish. We're talking about the simplicity, guys. And this is for kids. This is for adults. We're going to walk through this. And you know, if I need to get some of these ordered, we'll order some. Because these bracelets are very similar to what we went through with the sticks that we passed out to farmers at the farm show. We would have, they were in beads, okay, and you'll see that in a picture here in just a moment too. They were beads as well. Oh, maybe I don't have that picture up. But they were beads as well, but just going through these colors, and it was the wordless book. Can you guys say wordless book? It was a way to share the gospel through colors. Okay? And we're going to walk through that today. And we're going to walk through how we do that. And we're talking about the simplicity of the gospel. You know what? We've made the gospel sometimes really hard. We've made the gospel seem like it's really complicated. And you know what? Not everybody can do it. You know, I've heard in other denominations that people discourage actually reading their Bibles. That we don't want you to get that wrong, so don't read your Bible. And so, again, with that, we want people reading their Bibles. We want people sharing the gospel. And so we're going to use John 3:16 as our template. As you guys know, it's on our shirts, right? That we have the cross on the back of our shirts, and it has John 3:16 on it. It's one of the most famous scriptures in the world. And it's so famous because it puts the gospel in a nutshell. So here we're in our family service, and this message is for the whole family. So it's easy, it's so easy that a child can do it. It's so easy that a child can do it. And so we're going to walk through it. One is the first bead or the first color we'll refer to is black. Now, some people start with heaven, which is the yellow or gold, okay? But most of us at the farm show at Dakota Fest started with black. And it represents what? What do you guys think this represents? Sin or darkness, right? Because when I am in the dark, I can stumble, right? I don't know where I'm going. But when I turn on my flashlight, right, I can see. And so we talk about sin and how sin separates us from God. And you know what's pretty awesome? At the farm show, many people would, when I said, you know what? I've done wrong. You've done wrong. They're nodding their heads in agreement. They're nodding their heads that they have done wrong before, just like I've done wrong. And as I explain this first bead or this first color to people, most acknowledge that they've sinned. I know that's changing in our culture. I know our culture is changing where people don't want to admit that they sin. They don't want to be told that they've been done, that they've done wrong. But it's the truth. And that's why we need a Savior. People can look around and they know the world is broken down. I didn't put a picture up, but you ever see a building that's condemned? Right? They put tape all over it. They say, don't go in because it's not safe. That building could fall apart at any time. It looks broken beyond repair. In fact, we're told again not to go in. But if you just listen to the news or read social media, we can see how broken our world is. And this is where I ask you to turn to John 3:16, and you can follow along on the screen or you can turn in your Bibles. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And we'll continue on there. When I think of the red color, I think of the love God has for us. That whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And we have that on the back of our shirts. And the red, a lot of people, when I ask them, like, because they've seen us, I've been doing it for 5 years now, five times at Dakota Fest, where I'd share the gospel with people. And sometimes they're like, oh, I saw you before. And I said, good, you've been here before? Tell me what these mean. You tell me the gospel. And I asked them, what's red? And they said, the blood of Jesus. And I said, yeah, you're right. But that red also means the love of God, right? When we think of red and we think about around February, everybody loves to give Valentine's or get candy, right? Or give somebody flowers or whatever, right? Your loved one flowers. This red represents the love of God. And, you know, with the love of God that was poured out for us. But look, it's like we prayed, but God demonstrates his own love for you in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. He didn't wait for us to clean up our lives. He wasn't waiting for us to impress him. Listen, these are all things that you can share with a friend or a neighbor. God isn't waiting for you to get cleaned up to come to him. He isn't waiting for you to stop doing all the things that you know you really shouldn't be doing, right? That you can be sharing this at your work, that you can be sharing this, and it's easy enough to even tell it through a little band that you put on your arm or a string that has the little beads on it. And they're like, hey, why are you wearing that? Well, let me tell you. And listen, when people are at Dakota Fest, they want to get that stick and they want to go, right? And so I'm like, hey, you know what? This stick is free. And I want to share with something else that's free with you. And it just takes a few minutes of your time. And you can walk through this, right? And so we share about Jesus' love and that the Son of God came and lived a perfect life, kind of like this white color here that we see here, where it shows that white representing purity, that white representing clean, right? Like we took a spiritual shower, if you will, right? In that Jesus came and lived that perfect life. And that when we ask Jesus into our heart, that he changes us. He makes us as white as snow. And I had the little doctor thing there. Not only I played the skit for you guys, but I actually got some teenagers together at Mitchell Christian School, and we performed this, all right? I was very sweaty at the end. I was the catch-all, okay? But again, it really represents this aspect that this patient is waiting, right, to be seen, and he catches everything, every ailment that walks in the door, and the other patient walks out all better until the pregnant lady comes in, right? And he's shocked and afraid and doesn't want to catch a baby, right? And so, as we all know from the skit and from the video, so he runs. Now, we know you can't catch a baby, but in this funny skit, we see an illustration, as I just shared before, that Jesus took our punishment. I asked the kids at Dakota Fest, like I said, are you willing to take your brother or sister's punishment? You know, we as adults don't want to take somebody else's punishment, right? We're all about fairness, especially when it comes to me, right? Being fair to me. If I didn't get the correct change back, if I didn't get justice for me, we have a hard time with that. But Jesus was our substitute. He took our place and took what we deserved. He gave us what we deserved. And he made us whiter than snow. Can you guys say as white as snow? That's right, as white as snow. We get a lot of that here, just not now. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So God loved with the red. God gave, and God has made us pure as the snow. And I would say, when Jesus asks you into your heart, when we ask Jesus into our hearts, he purifies us and he makes us new. And like all Christian farmers, or like all good farmers, we want to see what? Green is? What do you think green is? Growth, right? We want to see you grow. We want to see discipleship take place. We want to see, again, as Christians, we're then leading other people to Christ. And I would ask over and over again, as I'm giving out this free gift, have you asked Jesus into your heart? Have you asked Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life? And they said, yes. And I'd say, when? And some would say, well, I don't even remember. Or I think it was when I was a little kid. Or some would say, like, one said 5 years ago, and they said, yeah, we dealt with cancer, and that's when I turned my heart back to the Lord. One person said it was when my brother took his life that I came back to Jesus, or I came to know the Lord. So sometimes we think when tragedy or sickness and death and that stuff happens, that people turn away from God, and that does happen. But some people, in the midst of facing their own mortality, turn to Christ and say, I want to live for him with everything that's inside of me. And so, again, we talked to people and we shared with them, but one of the things I shared with each and every person that said, I asked Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of my life. I've asked him into my heart. I asked him, when was the last time you led somebody to Jesus? And I'll ask you. I want you to take a piece of paper. There's a mission envelope in front of you. You could write it down somewhere else, but I want you to write down the last time that you led somebody to the Lord. I want you to make a mental note and even on a piece of paper. When was the last time? You don't have to hand this in, okay? But I want you to think about, when was the last time you led someone to the Lord? But I do have an assignment for you this week. And this assignment is this. I want you to think about the person that led you to Jesus. Maybe it was a slew of people. Maybe it was one specific person that you remember sitting down and praying the sinner's prayer and asking Jesus to come into your heart. And what I want to challenge you to do, and this is for kids, this is for adults, I'd like you to write a letter. Doesn't mean you have to send it, but I'd like you to write a letter thanking them for sharing the gospel with you. Maybe they've gone to be with the Lord already, but you can still write that letter. And I want you to write a letter, thank you, because I remember, and write out the circumstance. I remember when I was 13. I remember when I was a young adult, and you spoke into my life, and just at the right time, and just in the right place, you led me to the Lord. Because guess what, guys? The Bible says, how shall they know unless somebody else is sent? This is, the gospel happens not by quiet experiences. The gospel happens by somebody praying for you, by somebody sharing the gospel with you, by somebody showing an example of Christ. And so this week, I challenge you, I am going to ask next week if you wrote it. I'm not asking you to turn it in, but I'm asking you to write it, even if that person has gone to be with the Lord. And I'd like you to write it out. And just say thank you and tell about the circumstances. And then if the Lord leads you, send that letter. Or hand that letter to that person. Because you know what? We tend to remember what we need to forget. And we forget what we need to remember, right? Mark Batterson shares that. It's such an important point. And when we write these letters, there's something that happens. There's something that takes place. And it's so important. And so, again, as far as our colors go, we're on new life, that he brings eternal life, and we believe and we receive that new life, and we want that growth to take place. You know, I would say this, if I gave my heart to the Lord 20 years ago, I should be different than 20 years ago, right? There should be some real growth in my life where I could really point to areas of my life that have developed. I'm not perfect. I won't be perfect all my life, because that's just the facts. But the Lord is transforming my heart and mind, and I'm different than I was 20 years ago. I'm different. So you would expect growth, and I would ask them, me being at Dakota Fest, if they asked Jesus into their hearts, and again, many said yes, and I would ask them when, as I shared, and then I would ask them, are they sharing their faith? John 3:17 says this, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only Son of God. What does it mean to believe? Leonard, could you get me a stool from the foyer, if you please? So I want to use this as an example, guys. I meant to bring it up earlier. But some people, when you think of faith and trust in God, okay, I want to kind of show you how this works, right? Pretend that this stool is faith in God, okay? And thank you, sir. And a lot of people, when it comes to their faith in God, they'll kind of like do one of these jobs, right? They'll kind of put their weight on it, but if it ever falls, they can stand right back up. Right? They really got this thing, and they've really been doing good deeds on their own, and they're pretty confident that they're living right, but they'll kind of lean on God. But if God ever fails them, or if it even looks like he's going to, I'm done with that chair. I'm done with that thing. But when God calls us to be his own and we fully trust in him, we take our complete selves and we rest on him. When I get in my car, I trust that that car is going to start up. When I have that car going 80 miles per hour legally down the highway, I trust that my vehicle is going to get me there safely. Some people even have lights, Christmas lights going on in their vehicle, and they still trust that the Lord is going to get them from point A to point B. They still trust in that vehicle that it's going to do its job, even though it has Christmas lights going on. We put so much trust in the things that we use every day, but how much do we really trust the Lord? How much do we really lean on Jesus, knowing that he will hold me up? I'm not kind of one leg in it here. I'm not kind of, if anything goes wrong, I'm good on my own. But have I completely set back and trust in the Lord with all my heart, leaning not on my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledging him, that he would direct my path? And you got to ask yourself as a Christian, how much am I trusting the Lord? How much am I relying on him? How much have I made him truly the Savior, the Lord of my life, that he takes control, right? The gospel's simple, guys. Then gold talks about heaven. Revelation 21:21 says that the streets will be gold and like glass. It's going to be so transparent. That heaven is for real, right? And we want other people to experience heaven. We don't want them away from God. We don't want them distanced from God. And fishing is simple, right? You get a fishing pole, you get some bait, you carve out some time, and you go fish. I caught a few fish on Tuesday and Thursday. It took some time. It took some guts. It took some courage. And it took a partnering with the Holy Spirit to share the simple message. The gospel is not meant to be complicated. It's meant to be simple. There's darkness in the world, but God gave. God loved, and God wants to make us new, like this green color. He wants to make us new. He's taken our punishment. He's taken our brokenness, our condemnation, our condemned building, and he wants to remodel. He wants to give you a new foundation. In fact, he wants to give you a brand new building that looks nothing like the condemned one. He wants to give you a new heart and a new life. And part of that growth is sharing the gospel. When he gives us that new heart and new life, we share the fruit of that in our lives. We share that growth. And as I shared, that yellow color, that gold, we believe there's a heaven. And we believe there's a hell. And we want to share as much as we can with those around us that so desperately need the gospel. And sometimes, you know, our society has gone to the point where it's become your faith, your religion is private. Don't bring it up in the public sector. But guess what? People won't come to Jesus if it's not a public thing in your life. If you just keep it home and you have your Bible closed up or even open in your home, but you never open your mouth and share the word of God, then how shall they hear? Right? How shall they know? Faith is not a private thing. Now, I'm not saying we browbeat somebody. I'm not saying we take a hammer out and hammer them with the gospel. I hope we've heard that through the fishing series. I don't know if many of you have caught a fish with a hammer. Okay? Just go around in the water going, boom, boom. I don't know. They say it's not legal to hunt with a gun in the water, okay? And even then, you have to be pretty accurate, right? I mean, shotgun shell is going to, you'll be picking out a lot. But my point being here is that, again, you don't try to knock out the fish. You use bait, right, like we've talked about. You've used a form of tackle. You're strategic in how you do it, but you're purposeful. And again, you're not trying to bang them over the head. And so, again, Christianity is supposed to be simple. It's supposed to be shared. Why do we take our kids fishing, right? Because it's not like they have to have some kind of crazy amount that you teach them through it, right? It's something that There's a simplicity in it. Now, is there a dynamic understanding of the Word of God? Yes. Do I believe that we should love our Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Is there some intellectual depth in the Bible? Yes, there is. I mean, it's so deep. We can't even mine everything that God has for us, but we can sure attempt to. In my lifetime, I've fished for adults as well as children. Many times at Dakota Fest, the people that I will pray with are children. I prayed with teenagers that are there, and even adults too. You can share your faith with just a simple tool like this.